I like the law. I like the law. Who likes the law? I like the law. I'm talking about the law out here. I mean, I'm just not even talking about God's law just yet. I like the law out here. I like people law. I do. I do. Well, I should say, I like the law that I like. I like the ones I like. I really like the ones that apply to other people. They're better laws. They truly are the better ones. You know, the ones I'm talking about, the ones like, thou shalt not murder, you know, murder's illegal. We say, you know, Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, but, you know, the states and the government got laws about murdering, you can't do that. And I think that's good, because people who murder somebody should go to jail, or they should pay the price. And maybe it would keep somebody else from committing murder. So maybe they won't murder me. That's good. People who steal, right? Laws about thievery and robbery and burglary and all that sort of thing. I think it's a good idea. I like that law because, you know, people should go taking other people's stuff, especially when they worked hard for that stuff. Assaults, rapes, vandalism. I like those laws. And one of the reasons I like all of those laws is because, well, I don't see myself going out and committing any of those crimes. However, if I probably had a real good reason to maybe do some of that stuff, maybe I wouldn't like the law so much. So, now we get to the category of laws I don't like. Those little signs on the side of the road, those black and white ones that have numbers on them, I don't like those laws. I don't like those at all. Because I think, personally, they are made just to cause me to drive slower than I really want to or have to or can. I'm pretty good at 100 miles an hour in an 85. I'm good. I shouldn't have to do that. I don't like that law. And the other laws I don't like, and probably a lot of them I don't like, are those laws that apply to April 15th. I don't like those laws. I don't particularly like the one where Jesus says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar, and give unto God what is God's. I don't mind giving God what's God's, but my personal belief is nothing belongs to Caesar. It's mine. So I don't like those laws too much. Okay, maybe I give Caesar a little bit, but it's always too much. So I don't like that law all that much. Well, I'd rather break them if I could, but I know that I can't because there's going to be consequences if I do. But I don't like them. And I don't happily abide by them, joyfully. I grump and I gripe and I complain. Marie knows that probably about this time of the year, she knows about this time of the year, I'll start gathering up all the W-2s and 4s and 12s and whatever else. And I'll start figuring out exactly how much tax money I owe to the tax man. And then a guy named Wolfman and somebody else in Sioux Falls will send me my prepared taxes, and I'll see how much I gotta pay, and I'll start thinking about how much I could do with that money. How much I could give to charity if I kept it. Well, I actually probably would have. But you know how people. God's laws are not the same for us the way we keep them in our attitude toward them. We like the big God laws that apply to other people. Thou shalt not murder. I mean, everybody's, who could be against that one? Does anybody out there think that thou shalt not murder is a bad idea? I know there's been some people in your lives that you probably would like to have murdered. I'll be honest, right? There's some people you would like to murder. Yeah. But we like that law. It's not a bad one. Especially because it usually applies to somebody else. I don't think anybody here has committed murder. I hope not. I mean, if you did, you'd be forgiven for that. If you have thoughts about doing it again, don't look in my direction. We like the big ones like, thou shalt not steal. I hope nobody out there steals. I think there is anybody here. I wouldn't like to think that, but Has anybody out there stolen anything in your life? Yes, one, here we go. Nobody else has ever stolen, not even a pack of gum when you were a little kid. You think that didn't count? Yeah. I'll put my hand up. Yeah. Pack of gum once, you know. Fishing lure from Montgomery Wards. Well, it wasn't my fault. The sign said take me. I don't know why it said take me, but I did. Anyway, I was sleepy. Point is we like the laws and God's law that apply to other people. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I don't know any adulterers out there. There might be, I don't know. But we like those big ones. The ones we don't like so much are those ones that really do apply to us, me. I mean, all God's laws apply to us, but we don't think of ourselves as being the ones about the thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not steal. We don't do those kinds of things. But how about thou shalt honor your mother and your father? Anybody out there ever been disrespectful to their parents in their life? Tell me, Jim, has John ever been disrespectful to you? Now you're lucky. He's not hearing too well on that. But the point is what does Luther say? That applies to all authority, right? The cop on the beat, the laws that the government puts in because government is duly instituted by God. So have we not violated that one? Bearing false witness. Have you ever flat out said something about someone you knew wasn't true? Have you ever said something about somebody you knew wasn't true? Have you ever said something about somebody in anger that you thought was true but found out later on it wasn't? That's still a problem. We like to be able to do that, don't we? We all do that, don't we? We bear false witness. It's a little bit different than what they were actually talking about in the Bible. Actually going and accusing somebody of doing something wrong so you could do whatever, maybe have them sent off to jail, take their land, take their house, take their wife, whatever it might be, but it's still the same thing. Saying something about someone else that's not true based on false information or your anger or whatever it might be. We don't like those ones. Boy, I tell you, if we had to follow that one, that would be the end of nightly news and any political discussions that we have. Including me! We don't like that one. We don't like the everyday laws. The biggies we like, the everyday ones, not so much. People could say, well, I don't break the everyday ones. I do my best. I'll tell lies about people, and I'll steal, and I'll commit adultery, and I certainly don't murder. You know, and I'm very careful. Don't take God's name in vain. Don't any of those GDs or JCs, right? I'm not disrespectful to my parents. I honor God, and I honor His word by coming to church and hearing it preached. We all might look holy on the outside, law-abiding on the outside, but the inside is a different matter. It's not just about doing the external things, keeping the law. It's about the internal attitude. It's what's going on inside of us while we're doing what's on the outside. Jesus tells us in the gospel message today, it's not just about doing that outside stuff. It's about what's on the inside. You have love and respect, firstly, for God and what He commands you to do, His word. And you have that same love and respect for others. As I said, I don't think there's anybody here who's committed murder, but have you ever been angry with somebody? Really angry with them? I have. None of us are blameless. You have heard it said in the ancient times, you shall not commit murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. Good so far. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother, you will be liable to the council. You're going to be liable to judgment. If you insult your brother, call him a fool. You idiot, you moron, you jerk. Jesus says you're going to be subject to even more than the council, more than judgment here. You can be subject to hellfire or the fire of hell, or the hell of fire. Damnation. Why? Because you've taken what God has made in His image and said, pretty much God's stupid. And that thing, person over there, is stupid. How many of us can escape that? How many of us, has anybody ever called anybody stupid, fool, idiot, moron? Or have you ever looked at somebody and said, how could you be so stupid? Yeah, you've probably done that, haven't you? Even if you haven't said, you're an idiot. You've probably said, how can you be such an idiot? How can you be so stupid? It's the same thing. It's demeaning. Have you ever had anyone do it to you? You made a mistake. You forgot something. And the person said, how can you be so stupid? It hurts. How can you escape that? How can you escape the judgment? For something that simple, that we don't even think about. How can you escape that? Telling somebody they're an idiot, a fool, insulting them is tantamount to murder. And why? At the root is the same action. It's the same thing. It's anger. It's hate. It's disregard for that person made in God's image. What's worse is Jesus is talking to believers. He says to a brother, they had sister in there, but he says to a brother, so I guess you ladies are okay. But he means everybody. He means those who believe. Isn't that worse? Have you ever said something like that to another believer in Christ? How could you be so stupid? You're an idiot. You're whatever. You're this. You're that. Who can escape judgment for that? Who can escape judgment? Jesus is the living Word of God. And what he's doing is he's intensifying the law. He's intensifying it. He's going beyond just the earthly things that the Pharisees like to take a look at. Observing the Sabbath, not eating this, not doing that, not saying this and doing that. He's intensifying it. He's going farther beyond the do's and the don'ts. He's expanding on it. The law is more intense than you think, is what he's saying. You can look holy. You can seem holy. You can do all that good stuff. But are you really? Why are you doing it? What is your heart like? That's what Jesus is saying. Look at your heart. Don't simply look at the stuff on the outside. Look into your hearts. For that's where keeping the law exists. The heart is surely the thing. Matthew 15:19. Out of the heart comes every evil thought, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. It's in there where it all starts. Before you ever do the act, you've already thought about doing it. You, me, it's all the same. You and I are no different. Before we ever do it, we think about it. And maybe something puts the brakes on sometimes, and usually it's because we're afraid to get caught, not because we think it's a bad idea. Although we may know it's a bad idea, we still want to do it anyway. Driving down the highway, and I see that sign, and it says 65, and I'm thinking, this is an 85-mile-an-hour road. Yeah. I've already thought about doing it. So my thought was, why not? 85 I go. The guy with the funny hat, funny-looking car, didn't think that was such a good idea. Had I, in my heart, respect for the law, I wouldn't have went 85 and 65. And I wouldn't have lost $140. Which then caused me to hate the law even more. Does that cause me to be even more careful the next time I'm speeding 85 to 65 to make sure there's nobody with a funny hat and a funny looking car? That's how we are. Out of the heart comes all of that stuff. So what then? Even the good that we do often is done for wrong reasons. Think of that. Even the good that we do is sometimes done for the wrong reasons. Because we're afraid to get caught. Because we don't want the fine. Because we want people to think we're really holy, or we're really law-abiding, or we're really good. We don't want people thinking bad things about us. But in reality, we couldn't give one whit for the law. We don't like it. Now, when you're driving down the road and somebody comes up behind you 20 miles an hour faster than you're going, you think it's a pretty good idea. The law. Who can keep it? Who can keep the law? Anybody out there? Come on, John, you're a pretty good guy. You should be able to keep the law. How about Carol back there? No? Nobody. Yeah, you know, I'm being a rhetorical question there. Nobody can keep the law. It's impossible. Nobody. We are helpless and we are damned before God. That's the truth. We don't like to hear that, but it's true. Helpless and damned by the law before God, except for the blood of Jesus. Except for the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. Nothing else can save us but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, think of it this way. You got the blood of Jesus. Well, yeah, he died on the cross. There may be people out there who even believe that Jesus died on the cross. Right? They say, okay, I believe it. Yeah, it's a historical event. But do they have faith that he died on the cross for them? That's the thing. Just the blood. It goes, oh, I'm washing the blood of Jesus. Does that really save you from anything? The fact that you just believe it happened? No. It's faith that makes the difference. And you believe that he died upon the cross for you, for your salvation. And by his precious blood, when you believe that he died for you, you are saved. And when you come to him in repentance with a truly contrite heart and ask forgiveness in faith, that's what saves. That's the only thing that can save us. There's nothing else. Nothing. Your good works won't do it. Acting holy in front of the whole world won't do it. Matter of fact, good works and acting holy in front of the whole world might exactly cause you to be more damned than you were originally. Because you start thinking that I did it all on my own. I worked my own salvation. You know, Luther talked about that. That was one of his big things back then. He wanted people to realize that it's not you that works your salvation. It's all from God. There ain't a tiny, itsy-bitsy, teeny bit that you can do for your salvation. Nothing. So you hear somebody ask me a question this week about decision theology. Have you decided to follow Jesus? I decided to follow Jesus. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And they said, you said you don't believe that, Pastor. What about that? Shouldn't I preach to somebody? Shouldn't I give them the word and then say, do you accept Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? You see, you know, the problem with that is it takes an act upon my part. It takes my evaluation of the information given to me. And I, through my own intelligence, through my own holiness, decide, yeah, I'm going to accept Jesus. God handed it out, I'm going to take it. It's mine. Got it now. Well, that'd be all fine, well, and good if you could do that, but you can't. It takes away from God's glory. It takes away from the work that Jesus did upon that cross to die for you.
And it takes away from the work of the Holy Spirit that brings faith into your heart.
Paul tells us that we were dead in our sin. Right? Paul also tells us, in Ephesians, I believe it is, that the unregenerated person, the unconverted person, the people that we are before faith, are blind. We are hostile to God. We can't work with God. There's nothing left in us that's good. There's nothing left that's good in us. Some people think there's an itsy-bitsy little tiny piece left from before the fall. You put a little tiny good piece in there, kind of like that little ember at a campfire. In the morning when you wake up, if you just blow on it hard enough, put a little kindling around it, poof, you got fire. Some people think that's inside of us, that little part that didn't fall. Well, we know that's not true. There was something a little bit good left in there. Do you think God would have kicked them out of the Garden of Eden? Think God couldn't have worked with that? No? A little sinful he could work with. But all sinful things. There was nothing good. Nothing good in us after that fall. Some people think, well, you know what? God gives you, God comes with his magic, you know, holy eyedropper, full of grace, and goes, just gives you a little bit. To start the ball rolling. And then, if you do all the right stuff, and one of those things is eventually accepting Jesus, making a decision to follow Jesus, then you're good. But Luther tells us, he encapsulates this for us so beautifully when he says, in the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed about the Holy Spirit, and if anybody knows this, you can kind of go along here. I cannot by my own what? Reason or strength, my Lord and Savior, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit, right, calls. Mm-hmm. And sanctifies me. Thank you so much for that. It's by the Spirit only. The law can't do it. Being holy can't do it. Accepting Jesus by saying some prayer can't do it. And you might say to me, well, Pastor, what about the folks who have done that and really believe in God? Here's what I say to them. What made you do that? What caused you to say, I accept Jesus? The Spirit. Everybody I ever talked to, I can honestly say, ever talked to. Well, maybe not everybody. Who's ever said, I accepted Jesus on this and this day, or I made a decision to follow Jesus. I said, yeah, but let's work that back. Did you do it because you looked at the evidence and said, you know what? Five pros over here, four cons over there, pros outweigh the cons, and therefore, okay, I'll believe in Jesus. Well, no, it was the Spirit. Ah, it was the Holy Spirit. And that is the only thing that gives us faith. And through that is the only way we can believe. And through that belief is the only thing that saves us from hellfire and damnation. The only place we can find forgiveness. Through the Spirit. Yeah, we can work on keeping the law, and I'll bet you 90% of you, because you're good folks, probably do those right good things. You don't call somebody a fool, and you treat people well, and you keep the law because you want to, because you're good-hearted folks. But that won't save anybody. You ever heard of those people out there? Oh, what do I got to go to church for? I didn't do nothing wrong. Just in that very declaration, you get a bunch of somethings wrong. Nothing saves but the blood of Jesus when we have faith that he died for our sins, for us, for you, for me. People can easily get puffed up and think they do it. I made a decision to follow Jesus. I accept Jesus. Now, I'm not belittling those folks. I'm sure they have very, very heartfelt belief in what they're doing. There may be some good folks out there, and I'm not saying they don't believe. But doing that certainly strips away, at least to some part, the glory that belongs to God that I an unrepentant and sinful, damned person. Loving myself more than the world and more than God could be changed because he loved me so much that he did not want to see me go into hell, but by the power of his Holy Spirit engendered faith in me that then caused me to believe, even when I might not have wanted to believe. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The law is intense. Yeah, more than we think it is, and nobody can keep it. And that is the first use of the law, that it makes us feel horrible when we really think about it, and causes us to know just how much we need Jesus. Amen.